Well, this morning, we're going to continue in the five-week series of messages that we're calling Healthy, a healthy mind, healthy body, healthy spirit. And last week, we talked about when storm clouds hover, and we looked at those times that we've faced difficult challenges, times that cause us to doubt and fear. We talked about how God does not necessarily rescue us from these dark times, but that God promises to walk with us and be with us, even when we feel far away from God. God is there, even when we're not so sure. And now this morning, our focus is on playing the hand that we're dealt. As we all know, we don't get to choose many of the circumstances that we find ourselves in. And sometimes life gives us a wonderful hand to play, and other times we just have to make do with the cards we're dealt. And as we look at this idea of playing the hand we're dealt, I want us to look at two passages from Scripture. First, from the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, where in Isaiah 43, we read this. Israel, the Lord who created you says, do not be afraid, I will save you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through deep waters, I will be with you. When your troubles will not overwhelm you, when you pass through fire, you will not be burned. The hard trials will not hurt you. And then in Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39, St. Paul writes this, and I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love, neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today, our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or the earth below, indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Lord God, we ask that you would speak to us today through these words of faith, that you would use them to give us strength and hope as we face the challenges and temptations that life can bring us. Speak to us through the presence and power of your Holy Spirit. We pray in the name of Christ. Amen.
Have you ever thought about the cards that you've been dealt? Have you ever taken the time to examine your life as if it were a hand of cards? For many of you, you would look at the hand that you've been dealt and go, I've been given a great hand. I don't want to change a thing. And still there are others. You would look at a few of your cards and you would go, these are the hard and bitter cards. It's as if we would say, if I could just trade in these cards, my life would be so much better. But that's just it. You can't trade in the cards that you've been dealt. These are your cards, whether you like the way they feel or not. It's interesting. The people that we want validation from, the people we want to like us, the people we want to impress, we hide these uglier cards behind the more noble, significant, prettier cards. These are the cards that we want people to see. These are the cards that we've based so much our identity on. It's human nature, I guess. But deep down, we know the cards that we've been dealt. There's no escape in it. It's who we are. We can't reshuffle the deck. We can't trade any of them in. It's in our DNA. It's in our makeup. The truth is, you are all in. But what if we stopped? What if we stopped and just took some time to look at the hands that we've been dealt? Is it coincidence or is it just life? Or is it God? The argument would be, why would an all-knowing, all-loving God give me this deck of cards? If he really loved me, why these cards? And these are the cards of pain, of chaos, of guilt, of hurts, of hang-ups, of habits. And amongst this deck, for some of you, there are some really cruel cards. Cards of rejection, depression, addiction, abuse, and the card that none of us can escape from.
Well, isn't that a cheery way to start out a sermon? But you know, in reality, it's true. We're all dealt different cards that we play out in our life. And we can debate whether these cards are from God or faith or a mixture of both. But the reality is that we have these cards that we've been dealt. And the question is, how will we play them? About 3 months after I accepted the pastorate of Christ Church of Greater Lansing, I had one of the most unusual experiences that I've ever had in my years in ministry. We were in this old downtown congregation across the street from the state capitol. Beautiful stone and brick building. It was built in 1889. Gorgeous building on the corner of Capitol and Ionia. And because we were downtown, we attracted a rather eclectic crowd of people. State government people, professors, administrators from Michigan State, law school students. We had people from the city and people from the suburbs. People from a wide variety of socioeconomic backgrounds. People of different racial and ethnic groups. And on any given Sunday, we had a number of people who were just off the street. Bag ladies who came in with their bags. They had slept out on the street at night. We had a couple guys who used grocery carts that they went around the city collecting pop cans because that's how they made a living. Well, this one Sunday, I had invited my extended family from downstate to come to Lansing for the 10 a.m. service. And they came in on Saturday night. We went to the baseball game at the Lugnuts Field, spent the night at the hotel so all the kids could swim and take advantage of the pool. And then they all showed up for the 10 a.m. service. And I was kind of excited to have my family there. Well, at this church, we did the announcements at the very beginning of the service. We always had a lay person do the announcements. And I was sitting in the front row with our congregational care pastor, who, by the way, happens to be a Syracuse grad. And all of a sudden, we hear this woman screaming at the top of her lungs using the F word. She was screaming at the congregation as she walked down the center aisle and she came up on the chancel, grabbed the microphone out of the hand of the woman who was making announcements, and she kept screaming and using curse words and about every expletive I've ever heard, yelling at the congregation. Well, Pastor Schulteis looked at me and said, "What do you think we should do?" And I said, "I mean, you've been a pastor much longer than I am. What do you think we should do?" And this woman kept screaming obscenities as Pastor Dick and I were trying to figure out, what are we going to do? Well, my family, which was sitting about a third of the way back, were all wondering, what in the world's going on? And then my mother-in-law, who sometimes has an answer for everything, tried to calm everyone down by saying, "It's a skit. Mark likes to use skits in worship to engage the congregation." And Katha looked at her mom and said, "Not skits with F words in them." And then she said, "This is real. We should hit the floor." And they did, because you don't know what's going to happen. Well, in the meantime, the head usher, who happened to be about 6'8" and weigh about 350 pounds, and the police chief, who happened to be a member of the congregation, came down and stood on either side of this woman, calming her down, and we're all just watching. I mean, it was like 15 minutes. They just stood there talking to her, and eventually they walked her out to the front door. There was a police car waiting to take her away. And the rest of the service is like, it kind of blew the, So, well, 3 weeks later, this woman shows up in the church office and she asked to meet with me. And this time she was very calm, seemed just totally normal. And so I walked outside with her and we sat on a bench in front of the state capitol where there are a lot of police presence. And there she told me her story. She suffered from a severe form of bipolar disorder, along with a diagnosis of borderline personality, all of which she had dealt with most of her life. Her mother had suffered from a very similar illness that ended up causing her to commit suicide when she was in her early 40s. This woman had experienced many difficult years. And then she experienced years where this illness subsided. Thanks to medication and treatment, she was able to graduate from college. She married. She had two children. She worked as a CPA in the government. And then it all came raging back. her medication stopped working. And she ended up going through divorce, losing the custody of her children. She lost her job, and she spent a lot of time as a homeless person on the street, some nights sleeping on the grates, the heat grates to the state capitol, and other nights living in a homeless shelter. My mother used to say this quite often, "There, but for the grace of God, goes me." And while I know what she meant, that we're fortunate not to be in the same situation, and that we are to have sympathy for people who struggle, I don't think the grace of God, or the lack of it, has anything to do with the hand we're dealt. All sorts of bad things happen to people, like illness and accidents, tornadoes, floods. It's all a part of living outside the garden of perfection, the Garden of Eden. It is what it is, and not something that God is using as some form of punishment. In this life, mental illness can strike anyone at any time. It doesn't mean they've done something wrong or bad or that they're being punished for some reason, as people in biblical times used to think. But sometimes the chemicals in our brains and the way our brains function get scrambled up, and it causes bizarre and destructive behavior. It's not a choice. It's not a conscious decision. Could be the result of environmental factors. There's so much we just don't know. But this we do know. It is real, and it has a profound impact on people's lives. I really like the quote that we have for our thought for today in the bulletin from Pastor Rick Warren. "Your illness is not your identity. Your chemistry is not your character." People don't want to talk about it as if it's something that's bad. But in reality, mental illness is not different than physical illness. It is a physical illness. Mental illness is no more to be ashamed of than cancer. Emotional illness is no more to be ashamed of than if you have a slipped disc or a broken arm. The only difference is that physical illness is more predictable. It's easier to diagnose and treat. And even with all of our scientific advancements, there's still so much we don't know and can't predict when it comes to the human brain. People often respond differently to different treatments at different times. Now, I know in our culture, we're always looking for that silver bullet, aren't we? We want instant solutions. Some pill or magic potion that makes everything better immediately. Take 2 aspirin in the morning and everything will be just fine, right? And people often seek religious prescriptions, thinking that if they just pray enough or read the Bible more or have a stronger faith in God, that God's going to make everything better. Now, praying more and reading Scripture more and having a stronger faith are all good things. And miraculous things can and do happen. But thinking that these things alone always will provide an immediate cure, it's not biblical. But our faith tells us that we're not alone in our struggles. That while God may not instantaneously fix things, God walks with us as we walk through dark times. Oftentimes, the only way out is to walk through it, one step at a time. It's often very dark and very lonely. But knowing that God never abandons us and that God does walk with us can give us the strength we need to take just that next step. And when we have people around us who God can use in our lives, people are willing to walk beside us and along with us, God can use people like you and like me in the healing process. In our scripture reading for today, the prophet Isaiah is speaking for God to the people of Israel. In their time of doubt and despair, he's reminding them of who they are. He's reminding them of their basic identity. And Isaiah says, "Israel, the Lord who created you says, do not be afraid. I will save you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through deep waters, I will be with you. Your troubles will not overwhelm you. Now, nowhere in the scriptures do we read where God removed them from their troubles immediately, but rather that God was with them and never abandoned them, that while things might not look good in the present in the scope of eternity, God's in control. God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know, sometimes we're dealt a good hand, and sometimes we're dealt a hand that's really difficult to play. It's not something we've earned. It's not something that we're being punished for, but cards, good or bad, God can use in our lives for God's ultimate good. Another quick story. When I first arrived at the church in Lansing, I met a couple that had attended for many years but were basically ignored and shunned and pushed aside. A couple by the name of Tim and Mary Ellen Hammond. I think we have a picture of them up on the screen. And after talking to them, I found out that their favorite place to eat was McDonald's, so we had something in common. So I took them out for lunch after church, got to know them, and it was there that Tim shared with me that he had a cognitive disorder that was the result of fetal alcohol syndrome. His mother was an alcoholic who drank through her pregnancy with Tim, which severely impacted his development. Tim was limited by this disability, but he was gifted in a number of different ways. He was incredibly good at math. He had this almost photographic memory when it came to sports scores, and he had this amazing ability to pray. I mean, some of the most profound prayers that I have ever heard came from the lips of Tim Hammond. So I gave Tim some assignments in the church, and other people began to recognize that Tim had some, while he had some challenges, he also had gifts that were important to our life together as a body. In our scripture reading from the New Testament book of Romans, St. Paul writes this: I'm convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Not circumstances, not illness, not mental illness, not addiction, not depression. No matter what you face, God never abandons you. It doesn't mean that God will remove you from your challenges. Rather, that God can even use our most difficult challenges. So we should not let fear run us over, circumstances destroy the hope that comes from God. No matter how dark things may become, God is still there. No matter how dark things may become, God still walks with us. Next week, we will be focusing on the theme of the message next week is the church is a safe place for healing. As the church is meant to be an extension of God's healing presence. God's intention for us is to walk with and walk beside people who are hurting. And we had the opportunity to be used by God and to bring hope to people's lives in the midst of crisis. And then as you've been hearing on the weekend of October 18th to the 19th, we're going to be offering a workshop called Mental Health First Aid. And we're offering this workshop to help all of us to be better equipped to walk beside and assist people who are experiencing mental illness or substance abuse related crisis. And I really hope that a number of you will be a part of that. Because as each one of us becomes better prepared to help people in crisis, God literally uses us to change the trajectory of people's lives. And the more we're equipped as a congregation, the more God can use us to bring hope to people living in this hell. This morning, as we receive communion, we're reminded again that none of us are perfect. None of us have the perfect hand. All of us struggle with sin and temptation, with challenges that just trip us up and sideline us. And communion is this visual reminder of not only God's presence, but God's love and grace. That because of God's love for us, nothing can separate us from God's love. Not our fears for today or our worries about tomorrow. No power in the sky above or below, nothing in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that's revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. So as you receive communion today, remember, no matter what you're going through, no matter what cards you've been dealt, God is here. That God's love is not dependent upon your circumstances or your performance. That God's grace is sufficient no matter your past, no matter your present, no matter your successes, no matter your failures, no matter your questions, no matter your doubts. Jesus said, come. My body is broken for you. My blood is shed for you. Come. Let us pray. Lord God, help us to walk with faith, knowing that you walk with us no matter the cards we've been dealt. Remind us through the bread and the cup of your constant love and grace. And on this World Communion Sunday, remind us we're not alone, that there are millions, billions of people around the globe will be receiving communion today, and that as a community of Christ followers around the world, you use us to be your body, to bring your hope to people, all people, everywhere. We pray this in the name of Christ. Amen.